This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's up? It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Right now I'm talking with Cashing In Karma. We've established that couple of them are in Seattle, but the band is specifically a Tacoma band. Is that right? Because so it's half and half at this point, isn't it?
It's half and half. We're a Tacoma, mm-hmm. Seattle band.
You're a CTAC band.
Let's go.
CTAC. So I gotta say Tacoma first, though, okay. Just because
Tacoma,
that's where Melvin and I are.
You're
from.
A taxi band.
Yeah.
Taxi band.
Actually sounds a little better. It's taken, but also kind of bad.
Taxi. Okay, cool. Hey, it's a new thing. Is it? I don't know. I guess we're making it, guys. It is what it is. Cashing In Karma, that you guys have a new EP called Hello World coming out September 9th this week here. And you guys are going to be playing a release show at the High Dive, your record release show. And from what I understand, your first show back after this 18 months of not knowing what's going on. So first off, congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really, it's just amazing to be back. And I'm sure everybody's probably getting tired of those show announcements where it's like, yeah, everybody's first time back. So now we can get past hours. That'll be nice.
Rip the Band-Aid.
There you go. So we got to hear, we did the little pre-interview, and I'm curious. Let's try and get as much of the story of Melvin as possible. So this is the deal. It's his first show back after being back. So he was like back and forth, and now he's back in the band officially. So he's back to Cashing In Karma. Is that right?
Yeah. So okay. Essentially, I've been in this band and out of this band maybe 2 or 3 times already.
Okay.
All of them with justifiable reasons, I feel. Sure. It's never been out of like ill will, or I'm on Twitter getting pissed at somebody. It's
You're a busy
like,
guy. You gotta.
Yeah, you know, I have goals. I had things I want to do, yeah. And one of them was like I wanted to go to school and see what that took me. So yeah. As I went to school and figured out myself there, I had to take a little bit of leave for at least a year, year and a half. And then my senior year, I decided, you know what, I think I can handle it, do both of these things and really get it done. And I had great teachers help me out, but at the same time, I really wanted to see this band through. And I didn't see myself leaving again until right around 2018 or so. And mm-hmm. I had a lot of decisions to really make. And I decided I really wanted to go forward and really try to make school continue to happen. And I wanted to be a teacher. Okay. So I found opportunities to actually get myself in a position to be a teacher out in a district near me. And I had a lot of fun the last 3 years. I got married, which was really great.
Congratulations.
It was like high school sweetheart, I guess, in a way. And I cherish each day I get to have with her. But at the same time, I knew that as we figured that stuff out and I was able to kind of get adjusted to certain things, I just felt really empty in certain ways. Like, not to sound like there was a hole too much in my life, but it's just like there's something else I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I never knew really what it was until I talked to Johnny again. He played at my wedding and we kind of picked up the conversation again. And I feel like having those moments, talking to him again, as well as just sitting and listening to music and finally like picking my guitar up after so much time away from doing it for a reason, I kind of realized I needed that reason. So,
Melvin, like, yeah, he's like, I just love what he does in the band so much. Like the, like he's always had a really good energy. He's always been a really positive person, and I always love what he did musically. So when he left, like in 2018, we were just getting established, and I was like, no. So yeah. I just kind of left it open, and I was like, kind of just hoping and praying, like one day he would come back, and then lo and behold, he's here.
So he's back, and so he went and he established his schooling, his career. He got his romance back in his life, and now he can have his bromance back in his life with Cashing In Karma.
It is funny too, because as we kind of started getting things back in motion, it's just so funny how quickly things came together again.
Yeah,
you know, like just being able to connect with Ben and Dave, especially because I remember when I was leaving, we were having conversations about Dave coming in into the band. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, actually after hanging out with him and seeing him a couple of times, I was like, yeah, he'd be a great fit. And then stuff just started building up. And I was like, looks like I'm not going to actually experience it, but I knew he was going to be a great addition. So it was cool just being able to like sit down and like have it become true, let it be solidified and know that like when Ben was in the fold and seeing him practice and play along and just seeing him grow along with us, it's just like, it's astounding because I had no part in it. That's Johnny's work in having them come together and unite that front. And it's really cool to just be able to pop back in and say, hey guys, I think I can make some stuff work here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what goes.
I like
it. And Ben and Dave, like, you know, Dave came in kind of after the, you know, like first official Cashing In Karma lineup kind of disbanded. We kind of all went our separate ways, had our other projects, school. But Dave kind of stepped in and, you know, really solid on bass.
Awesome.
He actually moved here from Detroit.
Cool.
In 2017 or like late 2017 or 2018 when you moved?
Ooh, very close. Early 2018, February to be exact.
Awesome. Gotcha. Yeah, right. So
I'm going to pause real quick here just so we don't get everyone confused. Pause for 1 second. What's your name and what do you do in the band?
I'm Johnny. I am the singer-songwriter / guitarist. And next.
And Dave.
So I'm Dave Bug. I am the bass player / security guard, as I like to call myself at least.
Melvin.
Hi, I'm Melvin. I play lead guitar, and I often sometimes try to make a great entertainment experience on stage.
I like it.
He's the vibe bringer.
Oh no. Okay.
So I'm Ben Morabian. I am the drummer / stick twirler.
I like it. I realized I got too comfortable too fast with this interview and we just jumped like two steps ahead. So I just wanted to throw that in there. You were saying, Johnny. Sorry about that.
Oh yeah. So Dave stepped in and then our buddy Marco was temporarily on drums and he helped us record, you know, our like EP/ album, 7 songs. So could be called either or, I guess, whatever it was. And then Ben came in 2019 and he's been with us since. And it's kind of crazy because I think it was the first time we jammed with Ben and it was still when we were like based in Lakewood. And we actually ended up like pulling out this bass line and doing this jam and it turned into one of the songs that is on the EP.
Nice.
Which was really kind of nuts, but it worked out. It was really cool.
So I guess I'll ask Ben then and Dave, since you guys are sort of newish or in the last like 3 years of to the band. Ben, let's start with you. What brought you into Cashing In Karma? Were you familiar with the band? Was it like a Craigslist listing? Did you see something at like a Guitar Center? What brought you into the band?
Yeah, good question. So I had a similar experience to Melvin where I kind of took a music hiatus, I guess, in a way. And I guess there was also a similar kind of a part of me that was unfulfilled, wishing I was going back and not wasting this thing that I had worked for so long to do.
Yeah.
So it's funny you mentioned Craigslist. I had actually been going to auditioned for a bunch of bands on Craigslist. I was putting out my own posts.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for about a year.
Okay. Wait, you mean that there was a solid drummer that was looking for a band for a year? That is insane.
This is the opposite universe he's describing here. Obviously.
So for
that's insane.
For lack of a better term, let's just say I met a lot of interesting people.
All right, and that's for another podcast.
They didn't necessarily work, but funny enough, I met these guys at a. I think you guys were opening for King Buffalo.
Killer.
Yeah, and
Barboza, right?
Yeah, at Barboza in Capitol Hill.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I happened to catch these guys open. I was like, these guys are sick. They've got high energy. They play the same kind of stuff that I'm looking to play. And we kind of just talked after the show, and I found out their drummer was a fill-in drummer. And yeah, I said, here's my chance.
That's awesome. And oh, right on. And Dave, how about you, man? How did you join the fold?
So myself, I actually just moved from Detroit. For those of you who are familiar with AmeriCorps, I signed up to do that. And I linked up with Habitat for Humanity for a year to help their digital footprint. And I was looking like, okay, so I'm working 40 hours a week. I'm new to this town. I'm new to this whole area. Let me do something fun. I'm either going to focus on doing jujitsu, doing music, or creating a podcast, one of the three, right? So I was like, all right, let me shoot off and do music because I have yet to do that. That's one thing I've always wanted to do is play in a local band. I've done cover acts before, and I've just been practicing by myself, right? So I put it on Facebook, and then I got a ton of replies for every type of 70 rock tribute band you can imagine. Okay. And then I got a call from Johnny.
Nice.
So, mind you, I was living in West Seattle at the time, and he's like, yeah, come down to Lakewood to practice. I was like, all right, I guess I'm just going to go down to Lakewood. I don't know where that's at, but let's see what happens. So I trekked on down, got to meet Melvin, Will, who was the drummer at the time before they disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just enjoyed the energy that they all had. And honestly, I was planning on, if this band wasn't going to work, I was actually going to sell all my music gear and just focus on jujitsu. But luckily, Johnny is really good at what he does. I like his songwriting. I liked everything he had to offer. And I was like, all right, let's see how far this goes. And I don't know, maybe we'll make it big. Maybe not. At the end of the day, it'll be a great experience.
I'm so glad.
Yeah,
Dave did not sell all of his gear because I'd be scared to see what he'd look like with 100% commitment to jujitsu.
Oh no.
A lot more bruises.
He's still doing it.
Yeah.
Are you still doing jujitsu?
Yeah, I signed up with Matt Chess not too long ago, and I've been practicing here in Seattle for roughly 2 months now. Okay. So right. Work in progress, but finally back into it. It's another thing I just enjoy and love.
Killer. That's awesome.
Don't mess with Dave.
Right?
Look out.
Do you have cauliflower ears yet?
Oh, no. I still have to break that milestone. So I haven't earned my jujitsu gloves just yet, or like okay. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Right on, man.
So still work in progress.
So, okay. Right on. So when I made you guys the Loudmoke Band of the Week a couple weeks back, something that I heard a couple times was this band name is so cool. Like, it's just such a clever name. Who came up with the band name and what's the story? Johnny? Mm-hmm.
So that would be me. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of doing some soul searching in college, and yeah. I was getting really into...
Does that mean getting high?
You can't see that. It was before a certain time, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
To each their own.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
High on life.
it was college life, so
yeah, it was college.
There's definitely plenty of college experiences involved in that.
Yes, yes. Okay. Okay, moving on.
I did a lot of that and just kind of got into philosophies and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, cashing in karma, that's cool. I was just like learning about that whole thing and just the idea of like, instead of like, you know, getting good credit for doing good things, it's more like this idea of just, you know, if you receive bad energy or something, like try and find a way to convert it into good energy to put back out into the world. That's kind of what I thought of when I thought of like cashing in karma and stuff.
Yeah.
You just like, and like, that's what our music does. Like we just take experiences, and not all of them are pleasant, but we try and make something that people enjoy.
Nice, dude. Right on. I like it. So obviously we all know this past 18 months isn't the most normal for, you know, any live band or any kind of group of friends to experience. What kept you guys sane as a group and also individually? And that's an assumption that you did stay sane, but what kept you guys going, at least personally and as a band? And we can start, you know, let's start with you, Johnny.
Well, surprisingly, I did stay sane, mm-hmm. which again was a big surprise to me. But I just wrote a lot of songs. I wrote all sorts of genres, you know, just piano ballads or, you know, lo-fi tracks or just, you know, hard rock tracks for myself, or just like, you know, just anything that just kind of makes something interesting out of the mundane or the, you know, just the restricted lifestyle that was there. Mm-hmm. And then also we were just really adamant about getting this EP done. And like, even though there were so many roadblocks and setbacks and, you know, we actually had to re-record, you know, parts of the EP just because of technical difficulties. You know, that I think that was just like a strong, like motivating thing is like, hey, we have these songs ready to go and we can either, you know, we can come back strong with these songs.
Awesome. Ben, what kept you sane, man?
Just keeping myself busy. I tried to occupy my time with as many hobbies as I could. I took on a lot of new hobbies, fortified some old ones. So I got back into piano, started recording a lot of that. I got into hiking and all the stereotypical PNW activities like paddleboarding and biking and anything outdoorsy.
Drinking and IPAs. That's another one. That's another.
That's where I draw the line.
The now? Only 19 minutes.
Fair enough.
I'm actually very, very against the norm there. I'm all about the light beers.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I was just saying, if you're continuing the PNW stereotypes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's where the line stops.
Fair enough. Right on, man. Well, Melvin, what about you, man? What kept you sane?
You know, I had a lot of other stuff to really concern myself with. Mm-hmm. I was still teaching up until about January of this year. Mm-hmm. So I was focused on trying to figure out curriculum, how to adjust to do remote learning in the middle of the year, and actually getting a couple months off in the summer in 2020. I took the time to just like honestly figure my own self out, because I wasn't taking care of myself at all.
Sure.
I mean, school was stressful, and figuring all of that stuff out and carrying a lot of all the extra emotional stuff that comes from having to work with the severe cases that could be with my students. It's like, you know, you have to find some way to release it.
Yeah.
Like I talked to a therapist for a couple of months, and that helped me through it. And I picked up my guitar again. And honestly, that really helped a lot. I didn't play for maybe two and a half years. Uh-huh. And then just out of the blue, one day in the winter, I just decided I haven't touched it in a while. I haven't played it in so long. Let's see what I can do with it. And, you know, just spending time with my family. My wife's been really helpful in keeping me sane, along with my dog, who she's doing really good right now, but she can be a handful. So she kept me busy and kept me from truly realizing like what could really be going on there.
Yeah. Right on, man. And Dave, what about you, man? What's kept you sane? Jiu-jitsu, choking people out.
Trust me, I wish. All those gyms closed down, so I was resorted to doing push-ups all day.
Okay.
But no, I got pretty lucky. My roommate and I decided to split. We're living in ID at the moment, and basically a two-bedroom apartment in the middle of the International District is very cramped, as you can imagine. So, you know, it's like, all right, we should split before we get sick of each other.
Yeah.
I ended up finding a place that's actually a mansion up in Lake Forest Park, and then coincidentally, a friend of ours in Apology Wars ended up moving into a house right down the street from me. So it was nice just having friends in the vicinity. And then the other thing that was I'm incredibly grateful for that really helped me go through the entire quarantine is that around this time last year, I got to meet the girl I'm currently dating, and she has made quarantine a lot easier, to say the least.
I can imagine. That's awesome, man. Right on, guys. Well, so we kind of hinted at it, and Johnny, what you were mentioning, so the recording process during a pandemic, what was that like? Did you guys go somewhere to record? Did you guys record yourselves? What was the process? And, you know, clue me in a little bit about it.
So we had to, it was so funny because right when the, you know, the mandate, the stay at home mm-hmm. shelter in place thing kind of came out,
it's only going to be 2 weeks, guys. The virus will yep. be gone. 2 weeks. Don't worry about it.
Just 2 weeks.
We'll be back to, I'm just kidding. Anyways, keep going, Johnny.
we had like dates put down to record, and then like just the whole like being cautious, you know, being worried about like at-risk family and, you know, all that stuff. We were just, you know, we had to wait a few months, see how things were going.
Yeah.
And then, you know, finally in June, we were like, let's meet up, let's record this. Cause that was June, 2020. And then I moved to a place in Tacoma, mm-hmm. Shortly after that. I was staying up in like Renton Maple Valley area for a bit.
Yeah.
And then, so I was living in Hilltop for a bit, just, mm-hmm. A neat little house that I got to rent. And we started recording there. But like, this was my first time producing an album. So I was still learning stuff. And I was like, hey, I figured out, you know, a better way to go and record some of this stuff. Hey, can we retrack it? So we ended up retracking the drums in the new location with a couple of other things than, you know, stuff I had learned. In terms of like production and everything. And, you know, we did all that. Then I moved again to okay. where I'm at currently. And then Melvin came back to the band. So mm-hmm. I had finished all my guitar parts, and then Melvin's back, and we're like, gotta have Melvin on the album. So I took out the other half of the guitar parts, and then we, you know, sat down and just got Melvin in there real quick. And, you know, we sent it off, because I think, you know, by the time we were wrapping things up, I was so sick of the process. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Pay off, man.
I just wanted to get back to shows and, you know, working on just like more music.
Right on, man. Well, so yeah, give me how many songs is the new EP?
Is it going to be a 3-song EP?
Right on.
And it's a kind of bit of a mixed bag in terms of sound. Like we've got a, it's rock and it's got a range to it. You know, some of it's a little heavier. Some of it's, you know, definitely like a bit more like party animal sounding or yeah. something. And then some of it is just a little bit more laid back and reflective.
I kind of like the term rock and range. That's like, just for some reason, like came to mind as you said that. Just rock and it's gonna rain. It seems pretty much it.
Yeah. Awesome.
A lot of different influences. You know, we drew from, you know, and not heavily, but, you know, we drew from like all sorts of areas, electronic, you know, hip hop here and there, a lot of punk. So, I mean, you know, it's just got a lot of different elements in it.
Killer. Right on. And so again, it's available this week, and you're going to be playing the 9th at the High Dive. So congratulations on that. So try and make it out to the show. High Dive is an awesome venue. It's cool that they're open again and doing shows, kind of a staple here in the Fremont area. So I was curious. You guys are a Northwest band. Now I'm going to throw this out to you blindly without giving you any preparation to answer. If we can, name your favorite or one of your favorite Northwest bands of all time.
Modest Mouse.
Past or present. What was that, Dave?
Oh, Modest Mouse, 2 and 3.
Okay. Nice.
Alice in Chains for me.
Alice in Chains? Nice.
Oh, that's tough.
I gotta say Hendrix.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know. Yeah.
You can say Hendrix too if you want, Melvin.
Should have said it. I did my senior thesis on them, dude, and I should have said it. It's fine. if it wasn't Hendrix for me, I was always a Nirvana nut or a Soundgarden nut. Honestly, yeah. Grunge got me into music and kind of helped me get into the idea of what loud and aggressive and really fun, edgy stuff can get. And, I mean, it was in the 90s, so that's as edgy as you can get there, but it got me there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now that we're I'm on to the portion where I ask totally random questions out of nowhere and give you no prep for it. Let's start with Ben. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Oh, man. I can go with the most recent one.
Okay.
Right here. I don't know if you can see it. Right there it is.
Okay. Yeah, we see that. That's pretty deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was out hiking and stumbled upon a bear.
What?
No. Actually, much more mild than that.
Just fought a bear casually. Okay.
No, the real story is much less exciting. I was trying to clip my dog's nails and he kind of went berserk and just swatted at me.
Not happy.
And just ripped open my arm.
That's equal to a bear, though.
He is equal to a bear. He could probably take a bear.
He's no joke.
I
believe it.
All right, Dave, what about you, man? Pick a scar. Tell us a story.
Oh boy. All right. Let me see if this one's still visible. Yeah, or it might be this arm. Bear with me. I can't see my own elbows. But either way. Okay, so I believe it's somewhere around here. All right, so
we'll edit it in.
Yeah.
Back when I was into Detroit, are you guys familiar with what a schlongboard is?
A schlongboard?
What?
Yeah, a schlongboard.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah, I know. I'm ready for the story.
Is it a little radio friendly? Is it a longboard for your schlong?
Well, close.
I think it's
cool. So long story short, so if you take a skateboard and you put longboard wheels on it, you make it a schlongboard. So I made one of those. When it comes to making one of those, you want to make sure you have risers on there because the wheels for a longboard are super thick and can easily hit the top of the board. And if you will bite, you'll just fall immediately off, right?
Oh, yeah. That makes
sense. I made the huge mistake of not putting those on. I was in my parking lot in Grand Rapids. This was back in York Creek Apartments, where the pavement is filled with rocks, glass, sharp objects, this, that, and the third. No
hepatitis
one
needles. Yeah.
Yeah, however I'm alive right now is beyond me. But yeah, long story short, I took it out for a test drive after I put it together, went about 2 inches, immediately got wheel bite and just slammed across the pavement and dragged across it.
Oh.
Elbow first. So yeah, I just took some duct tape and some paper towel and taped it up because I didn't have health insurance or money to go to a doctor to get stitches and kind of just hope it healed, and it did. So
if you ever need risers again, you know who to call.
Oh, Johnny, you know I'm coming to you first.
Johnny, what about you, man? Pick a scar.
Okay. Let's see. Can you see that? Yeah, you can see that, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's nasty
I had a ganglion cyst until November of 2020. I got a surgery to take it out because it was pressing against my nerve, actually. It was like nestled. It wasn't like the biggest, most gnarliest looking one, but
it wasn't Dr. Pimple Popper style.
Oh no, they had to cut it open. They put me under, and apparently I was what they said, I wasn't a cheap date. They were like, their words, not mine. They said I had to have 3 Michael Jacksons worth of anesthesia to finally put me asleep. Which is pretty intense, but yeah, I don't have chronic pain anymore and you know, shooting nerve pain, and I can use my wrist, so that's pretty great.
I love that Michael Jackson is like the reference point there,
for real. Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna start using that.
I like that. Awesome. And last but not least, Melvin, you got a scar?
So I never really broken a bone or anything like that. I do have really weird fingers. And so, like, I don't know what's wrong with my pinkies, but they have such a deep twist and burn or bump to them. And then, like, when it comes down to, like, weird stories, I remember my freshman year of high school, my mom didn't want me to play, like, any sports. My brother tore his MCL in high school, and she didn't want me to do that, or at least wait until sophomore year for some reason or something. But I ended up going through a baseball season unscathed, totally no pain whatsoever. And I get to like the last day of like basic ninth grade PE class, and I'm doing wall touches, and I turn and stumble, and my thumb lands on my chest and pops itself out of socket. Like, I'm talking, my thumb was behind a knuckle for a second. And then like, as I'm walking to go to the teacher to go tell her something's wrong with my hand, my thumb just pops right back into space. Totally fine. I can't even move it. And she looks at me and goes, right, go see the nurse. With no escort. So I'm walking the hall holding this like just freshly reattached or re-put together thumb through the halls. And I'm just like, I think this is it. And I just slumped into the office and just sat there. Damn. I had no idea what was going on.
That's
hardcore. But apparently I had to put it in a sling for about 2 weeks and it was totally fine.
Weird. Damn, dude. That, just the visuals of that sounds nasty.
It wasn't a fun one.
It sounds pretty gnarly.
So again, the album, the EP is called Hello World, and it's going to be available later this week on the 9th. And if you like what you hear from this song, you can check out the EP, and then you could also see them on the 9th at the High Dive. We're actually going to go into a song to end this. It's called Fake It Till You Break It from the EP. So just a little bit of a test here. If you dig it, and it shouldn't be a test because I know you'll dig it. So Cashing in Karma, tell me a little bit about this song, Fake It Till You Break It. Who came up with the idea? What's the idea behind it?
So Fake It Till You Break It is this idea of, you know, kind of being in denial, like this, the cognitive dissonance, like when you believe something, but your actions don't align with it and stuff. So it's like, eventually, you know, you are just going to cave. And if you're in, if you are continuing with something you're not happy with, like eventually you will just end up getting to a point where you can't anymore. You know, that was kind of like inspiration from, you know, the quarantine in some parts, but, you know, also just like in terms of relationships with people, you know?
Yeah.
When, you know, people aren't, you know, fully honest with themselves. So it's kind of like a, just take a listen.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Let the music speak for itself, I suppose. So we're going to go into that. But before we do, you guys got any shout outs or thank yous before we jump into the song?
Oh, geez. Thanks, Mom, Dad, Kyle from Apology Wars, my partner, Bree. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
My dog, Allie. Levi Seitz for mastering our EP. Awesome. High Dive for having us host our release show. You guys?
Mom, Dad, brothers, sisters, my partner Tiana, Kyle from Apology Wars, who I now live with, the rest of the band members that I get to play D&D with occasionally online, and yeah, just general friends and support.
Nice.
I'd honestly say the same. I think my wife, Evelyn, thank you so much for just being so supportive and pushing me to want to continue to do this. I thank my dog for multiple reasons, for being the support system that I need when I get home most days, and for being the most quiet puppers in the entire world as we went through this whole video.
Absolutely.
I thank my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, just for the support and the drive they gave me to really push myself to, you know, no matter what, see that I can do this and whatever I want to put my efforts to, it's possible.
Yep.
And honestly, just everyone that wants to support this band, support myself, and everyone that wants to make this kind of mission come to be, you know, no one can do this without the support or some kind of backing that tells them that it's possible. So I thank you.
Absolutely. And how about you, Ben?
Just same as everyone else, obviously, my mom and dad for bringing me into this world. I wouldn't be on this album if they hadn't.
world.
My girlfriend Anna, who's been super supportive throughout all this, my dog Toki, and then of course all of you guys and all of our friends and family and fans who come out and support us and listen to our music. We couldn't have done it without any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, fans, for sure. Listeners, supporters. Mm-hmm. Oh,
the fact that we have like more than one person that isn't like a fan member to say that you guys are good at a show, I'm just still like, holy crap, really? Thank you.
Well, I'll add to that. You guys are good.
Oh, snap.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So here's Cashing in Karma with a song called, Fake It Till You Break It. And the EP, Hello World, check it out. You can pre-save it on social media or streaming media, whatever. You can buy it at the show. Again, September 9th at the High Dive. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stop. Rewind. Well, you know there's no way to turn back time. We're killing ourselves with the knife we hold, and the look in our eyes says it's growing. You finally come clean, hear the cracks as you walk over painted glass dreams. If you could see the other side, you know that nothing's what it seems. It's always once an open house to come look around it. Even when it's empty, it feels too crowded. Look how pretty things can be when it's just you and me. Up, it's time, contrary to what we thought we'd find. We started up again, and so why? Look how pretty things can be when it's just you and me. Look how pretty things can be when we step it up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.